of the 159 letters that Mahler wrote to her, Alma made public those 159. Well, only 37 were unaltered. Another 200 letters and telegrams Mahler wrote to her have gone unpublished, many of them lost, truly destroyed by Alma herself. As for the letters she wrote to him, Alma destroyed almost every one of them after Gustav died. Only one of her letters to Gustav has survived. Jonathan Carr, a Mahler biographer, writes, and I quote, "Alma thus went to considerable pains to cover her tracks, and in doing so, to shift the blame for what went wrong in the marriage," unquote. Now, over the remaining three lectures of this biography, we will draw extensively from Alma's reminiscences, but in general, only from those passages that are either genuine diary entries or those passages that deal with external events and third parties. As soon as Alma starts talking about her suffering, her martyrdom, Gustav's cruelty and such, we find the ice of truth very thin indeed. And as such, we will avoid such passages unless they are corroborated by other sources. Look, the point here is that Gustav Mahler was no peach, but neither was Alma Schindler. Her husbands and lovers included some of the great artists and thinkers of the 20th century. Gustav Mahler, Oskar Kokoschka, Walter Gropius, Franz Werfel are but a few of the men who shared her heart and shared her bed. She was a talented, powerful woman who lived at a time when her power had to be filtered through the men in her life. Only her genuine diary entries, her real diaries, reveal the depth of her feelings and misgivings. And sometimes those entries carry with them a genuine and terrible ring of truth. For example, the diary entry of January 8, 1903, quote, "Often when I'm unhappy, according to Gustav, it's not his fault, it's only mine. Now that I'm supposed to live only for someone else, I do not feel happy, although I truly love this man. Nothing really touches me. Oh, I cry, I rage, I rant, but all on the surface. Deep down, there is an indestructible, frightening calm. No pain affects me, no joy either. Recently, Klimt and Burckhardt were here. Burckhardt made bold advances. I was neither shocked nor happy. Nothing. Yes, absolutely nothing, nothing, nothing. Wretched creature," unquote. We'll let Henri-Louis de Lagrange take us home in regards to Alma, and I quote, "In spite of the sufferings and conflicts their union was to engender, Alma transformed and enriched Mahler's life and gave him a new incentive to live, to strive, and of course, to create. Dignity, moderation, conventions, and objectivity mattered little to her. But she had the presence and majesty of a goddess, and men longed to lay offerings at her feet. She was to be Mahler's goal, his safe anchorage, his essential reason for living. Of course, he too had guessed and anticipated the potential difficulties and conflicts, but he confronted them steadfastly, trusting in the vital force of his love and the splendid and unique qualities of this splendid and unique woman, this woman that fate had placed in his path." When we continue, Mahler and Alma's life together, the Fifth and Sixth Symphonies. Thank you.